Imagine you are sitting at a table in Las Vegas. The room hums with quiet tension. A man across from you pushes a stack of chips forward without saying a word. He does not smile. He does not flinch. You look down at your two cards. You have something good, but is it good enough? You have five choices. You can check, bet, call, fold, or raise. In the next few seconds, the choice you make will either win you the pot or cost you everything you have put in. This is Texas Hold'em, and those five simple actions are the entire language of the game. Today, we are going to learn that language from the beginning. You do not need to have played poker before. You do not need to know anything about cards at all. By the time we finish, you will understand how a full hand of Texas Hold'em is played, what every action means, and why each one matters. We will follow real players through a real hand so that every rule we learn comes alive in a story. Let us start with the simplest question. What is Texas Hold'em? Texas Hold'em is a card game where players try to build the best possible group of five cards, called a hand. The player with the best hand, or sometimes the last player left at the table, wins all the money that everyone has put in. That pool of money is called the pot. You can think of the pot like a prize in the middle of the table. Everyone puts money in, and only one person takes it out. What makes Texas Hold'em different from many other card games is that cards are shared. Every player at the table gets two private cards that only they can see. These private cards are called hole cards. Then, during the game, five more cards are placed face up on the table for everyone to see. These shared cards are called community cards. To make your final hand, you combine your two private cards with any of these five shared ones to create the best possible group of five. Picture this. You are holding two private cards, say a king and a jack. On the table, you can see five shared cards including a king, a 10, a jack, a 2, and a 3. You can use your private king and the shared king to make a pair of kings. You can also use your private jack and the shared jack. Suddenly you have two pairs, kings and jacks, which is a strong hand. Everyone at the table can also use those same shared cards, but nobody else knows what your two private cards are. That secret is your power. Before we go any further, we need to understand the basic ranking of hands, meaning which combinations of five cards beat which other combinations. Think of it like this. In most games, there is a hierarchy, a ladder of strength. In Texas Hold'em, some hands stand at the top of that ladder and are almost impossible to beat. Others sit near the bottom and lose to almost anything. The very best hand you can have is called a royal flush. This means you hold the five highest cards of the game, an ace, a king, a queen, a jack, and a 10, and all five cards belong to the same suit, meaning they are all hearts, or all spades, or all clubs, or all diamonds. A royal flush is so rare that many experienced players go years without ever seeing one. Just below that is a straight flush, which means five cards in a row that all share the same suit, like the 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 of hearts. Below that is four of a kind, which means four cards of the same value, like 4 sevens. Then comes a full house, which is three cards of one value and two cards of another, like 3 queens and 2 fives. After that is a flush, which is any five cards of the same suit, even if they are not in order. Then a straight, which is five cards in order but not all the same suit, like a 7 of hearts, an 8 of clubs, a 9 of spades, a 10 of diamonds, and a jack of hearts. Lower down are 3 of a kind, meaning 3 cards of the same value. Below that is 2 pair, meaning 2 cards of one value and 2 cards of another. Then 1 pair, which is just 2 cards of the same value. At the very bottom is what we call a high card hand, where you have nothing at all that matches up, and you simply hope that your highest single card beats everyone else's highest single card. This ranking never changes. A flush always beats a straight. A full house always beats a flush. A royal flush beats everything. You can think of it like a rock, paper, scissors, ladder, except here it has 10 levels instead of 3. Now let us talk about how the game is set up before a single card is even dealt. Every hand of Texas Hold'em has a designated dealer. In a home game, one person might deal the entire time, but in professional games and tournaments, a round disc called the dealer button is used. This button sits in front of one player and marks them as the dealer for that particular hand. After each hand finishes, the button moves one position to the left, so the role of dealer slowly travels around the table. This matters a great deal, as we will see later, because where the button is affects when you have to make your decisions. Now, before the cards are dealt, two players are required to put money into the pot right away. They do this before they have even seen their cards. These forced payments are called blinds. The word blind means you are paying without seeing your cards, like paying for a meal at a restaurant before you know what you are getting. There are two blinds. The player sitting immediately to the left of the dealer button puts in a small amount. This is called the small blind. The player sitting to the left of the small blind puts in twice that amount. This is called the big blind. For example, if the small blind is $1, the big blind is $2. These two payments ensure there is always some money in the pot, which gives everyone at the table a reason to play for it. Why do blinds exist? Because without them, every player could simply wait forever, folding every hand until they were dealt something perfect. The blinds create pressure. They force the game to move. Every hand, two different players pay their entry fee whether they like their cards or not. With the blinds posted and the pot seated with a little money, we can now talk about the four stages of the game. The first stage is called pre-flop. During this stage, the dealer gives every player exactly two cards, face down. These are the private hole cards we spoke of earlier. Nobody else can see them. Starting with the player sitting to the left of the big blind, everyone looks at their two cards and decides what to do. This is where the five basic actions first come into play, and we will come back to explain each one in detail very shortly. For now, understand that each player, going around the table in a clockwise direction, must either match the $2 big blind to stay in the hand, increase the amount that everyone must pay, or give up their cards entirely and leave the hand. This continues until every player still in the game has put in the same amount of money. The second stage is called the flop. Once pre-flop betting is finished, the dealer places three community cards face up on the table. These three shared cards together are called the flop. Suddenly, the game opens up. Where before you only knew your two private cards, now you can see three more cards and start to understand what kind of hand you might be able to build. A new round of betting begins, and this time it starts with the first player to the left of the dealer button who is still in the hand. The third stage is called the turn. After flop betting is complete, the dealer adds a fourth community card to the table. This single card is called the turn. Another round of betting follows. The fourth and final stage is called the river. The dealer places a fifth and final community card on the table. This card is called the river. After the river card is revealed, there is one last round of betting. If two or more players are still in the hand after everyone has made their final decisions, then we reach the end of the game. That end is called the showdown. The remaining players reveal their two private hole cards. Using any combination of their two private cards and the five shared community cards, each player forms the best five-card hand they can. Whoever has the best hand takes the pot. If two players happen to have exactly the same best hand, they split the pot equally. Now let us come to the beating heart of the game. The five actions. These are the only things you can ever do when it is your turn to act in Texas Hold'em. There are no other moves. Everything in the game, every dramatic moment, every bluff, every big win, comes from choosing the right one of these five actions at the right time. The first action is the fold. To fold means to give up. You throw your two private cards away, face down, and you leave the hand. You will not win the pot. You will not lose any more money in this hand, but any money you have already put in is gone. Think of folding like deciding not to bid on something at an auction. If the price goes too high and you do not think the item is worth it, you stop bidding and walk away. You lose nothing new, but you also win nothing. The fold is actually one of the most important and underappreciated skills in poker. Knowing when to give up is as valuable as knowing when to fight. Many beginning players make the mistake of staying in hands they should have folded long ago, paying more and more into a pot they are unlikely to win. A player who folds wisely saves their money to fight on better ground later. There is no shame in folding. Professional players fold the majority of their hands. The second action is the check. To check means to pass. When no one in the current betting round has placed a bet yet, and it is your turn to act, you can choose to do nothing. You neither add money nor give up your cards. You simply say, in effect, I am here, I am watching, but I do not want to bet right now. You pass the decision to the next player. Think of checking like skipping your turn in a board game. You stay in, but you do nothing active. There is one important rule about checking. You can only check if nobody before you in that round has placed a bet. If someone has already bet, you cannot pass. You must either match their bet, increase it, or fold. Before the flop, checking is only available to the player who posted the big blind and only if nobody has raised. This is because everyone else already had to match or raise the big blind to stay in, so there is already a bet on the table for the big blind player. If nobody raised it, the big blind has the option to check and move on for free. The third action is the bet. To bet means to be the first person in a betting round to place a wager. When no one before you in the current round has yet placed a bet, you can choose to introduce one. You put chips into the pot and everyone else must now respond to what you have done. They must either match your bet, increase it, or fold. A bet is an aggressive, forward move. It says, I think my hand is worth something, and I am making you decide. Bets serve two basic purposes in poker. The first purpose is called betting for value. This means you have a strong hand and you want to build the pot as large as possible so that when you win more. If you have a full house and you bet, you are hoping that other players call your bet, putting more money into the pot that you expect to take. The second purpose is called bluffing. This means you actually have a weak hand, but you bet to pretend you are strong. You are hoping that your opponent becomes frightened of your bet and folds, leaving the pot to you even though they might have beaten you if they had stayed. Bluffing is the magic trick of poker. It works because your opponent cannot see your cards. The fourth action is the call. To call means to match. When someone else has placed a bet before you, and you want to stay in the hand, you put in exactly the same amount as their bet and nothing more. You are saying, I will pay what you are asking, and I will see what happens. The call is the most passive of the aggressive responses. It keeps you in the game at the lowest possible cost. Think of calling like accepting a price tag at a shop without trying to negotiate. You do not argue for more or less. You simply pay what is asked. Calling is often the right choice when you have a hand that might be good but you are not confident enough to raise, or when you suspect an opponent might be bluffing and you want to see their cards without risking more money yourself. The fifth action is the raise. To raise means to increase. When someone has already placed a bet, a raise means you put in more than they did. Now everyone else must respond to your higher number. They must match your raise, raise it even further, or fold. To raise, you must put in at least double the amount of the previous bet. So if someone bet $10, your raise must be at least $20. A raise is a powerful statement at the table. It sends a message that you are confident in your hand and you want to push others out, or you want to build a bigger pot. Like the bet, a raise can be used honestly, when you genuinely have a strong hand, or deceptively, when you are bluffing with a weak hand to frighten others into folding. One special kind of raise deserves mention because it appears often and sounds mysterious. It is called a re-raise, or sometimes, in the first round of betting before the flop, it is called a three-bet. This simply means that after one player has raised, a second player raises again on top of that. The first raise is the second bet and the re-raise is the third bet, which is where the name three-bet comes from. The principle is the same. you are increasing the price that everyone must pay to stay in the hand. Now let us bring all of these rules and actions to life by walking through a single complete hand of Texas Hold'em. The story of one hand is the best classroom we have. Our players are three friends sitting around a kitchen table. Their names are Alice, Bob, and Carol. They are playing with chips worth real money. The big blind is $2. Carol has the dealer button in front of her tonight. This means that Alice, sitting to Carol's left, must put in the small blind of $1. Bob, sitting to Alice's left, must put in the big blind of $2. Carol is the dealer and puts in nothing yet. The pot already has $3 in it before any cards are dealt. The dealer gives each player two private hole cards, face down. Alice looks at hers and sees an ace of diamonds and a king of spades. These are two very strong cards. In the language of poker players, ace-king is one of the best starting hands possible. Bob looks at his cards and sees a nine of hearts and a three of clubs. These two cards do not connect well at all. They are not the same suit and they are not close in value. Carol looks at hers and sees a seven and an eight of the same suit, spades. These cards are close in value and matching in suit, which gives them some potential. Now comes pre-flop betting. Carol acts first before the flop because she is in the dealer position and acts before the big blind and small blind on later streets, but in pre-flop, because the blinds are already forced bets and the first decision goes to the player left of the big blind, Carol actually acts first among those who have free choice. She is to the left of the big blind player since we only have three players here. She looks at her seven and eight of spades and decides they are worth playing. She calls the $2 big blind, putting $2 into the pot. Alice, the small blind, has already put in $1. She has an ace and a king, so she is feeling confident. She decides to raise. She puts in $6 total, which means she adds $5 on top of her existing $1. This raise forces Bob and Carol to put in more money if they want to continue. The total she has put in is $6, and so everyone must now put in at least $6 total to stay. Bob, the big blind, looks at his 9-3 and shakes his head. These are poor cards. He folds, throwing them face down onto the table. He loses the $2 he already put in as his big blind. He is out of this hand. Carol already put in $2. Alice's raise means Carol must put in $4 more to make her total six. Carol likes her 7 and 8 of spades enough to call. She puts in $4 more. The pot now has $3 from the blinds, plus Carol's call of $6, plus Alice's raise of $6. Subtract the money Bob lost when he folded, which was already counted. Total in the pot, $15. Alice and Carol are the only two players remaining. Now we reach the flop. The dealer places three community cards face up on the table. They are the 7 of hearts, the 8 of diamonds, and the king of clubs. Carol cannot believe her eyes. She had a 7 and an 8 in her hand. Now 2 sevens and 2 eights sit on the table as community cards. That gives her 2 pair, 7s and 8s, using her private 7 and 8 with the matching community cards. This is a strong hand at this stage of the game. Alice sees a different picture. Her private ace and king means she now has a pair of kings, using her private king and the king on the table. One pair is a decent hand, but not as strong as Carol's two pair. Neither player knows what the other is holding. Carol decides to check. She wants to see what Alice does. She passes her turn without betting. Alice feels good about her pair of kings. She bets $10. Carol has two pair and feels very strong. She raises, doubling the bet to $20. Alice pauses. Carol has raised her. Does Carol have a strong hand or is she bluffing? Alice has a pair of kings. She decides to call the $20 rather than raise further. She wants to see the next card before committing more money. The pot is now $15 from pre-flop plus $20 from Alice and $20 from Carol in the flop round. The pot stands at $55. Now comes the turn. The dealer places the fourth community card. It is the Ace of Spades. Alice now has a new picture. Her private ace and private king match the community ace and king. She now has two pair herself, aces and kings. This is a stronger two pair than Carol's sevens and eights, because aces rank higher than sevens. Carol checks again. Alice bets $20. Carol thinks carefully. She does not know what Alice has, but Alice raised before the flop with confidence, and now Alice is betting strongly again. Carol calls the $20, not wanting to give up her two pair. The pot climbs to $95. Now comes the river. The fifth and final community card is placed on the table. It is the Nine of Spades. The five community cards are now the Seven of Hearts, Eight of Diamonds, King of Clubs, Ace of Spades, and Nine of Spades. Carol looks at the board. She has two pair, sevens and eights. Alice has been betting hard throughout. Carol checks. Alice thinks about her two pair, aces and kings. She feels very strong and bets $30. Carol looks at the nine on the table. She looks at her seven and eight of spades in her hand. She begins to think. The seven and eight community cards are not the same suit as her private seven and eight. Her private cards are spades. The new nine of spades on the river catches her eye. She holds the seven of spades and eight of spades. The community cards include the nine of spades, the ace of spades, and the king of clubs. Wait, she has the seven and eight of spades in her hand, and the community has the nine of spades and the ace of spades. She does not have a flush since she needs five spades and only has four, but she does have two pair, which she has had since the flop. Carol calls Alice's $30. The showdown arrives. Both players reveal their whole cards. Alice shows her ace of diamonds and king of spades. Her best five-card hand combines both her private cards and any three community cards. Her best hand is two pair, aces and kings. Carol shows her seven of spades and eight of spades. Her best five-card hand is two pair, sevens and eights. Two pair is two pair, but which two pair is better? The answer is determined by looking at which pair is higher. Alice has aces and kings. Carol has sevens and eights. Since aces rank above sevens, Alice's two pair is the stronger hand. Alice wins the entire pot of $155. Carol managed her money reasonably. She had a good hand, two pair, and played it with confidence. But Alice had a better two pair. That is the nature of the game. Sometimes the better hand loses. Sometimes it wins. The skill is in reading the situation and making the right choices with the information available. Let us step back now and reflect on a few deeper ideas that lie inside this story. Notice how Carol used the check action twice in this hand, once on the flop and once on the turn. Each time, she passed the decision to Alice first. This is a technique called slow playing, where a strong hand is played passively to encourage the opponent to bet more. By checking, Carol hoped that Alice would bet, putting money into the pot that Carol could then raise. On the flop it worked. Carol checked, Alice bet, Carol raised. Carol made more money than she would have if she had simply bet herself, because Alice might have folded to an immediate bet from Carol. The check invited a bet, and the raise on top of that bet built a bigger pot. Notice also how position matters. In the flop, turn, and river stages of the game, the first player to act is the one sitting furthest to the left of the dealer button. This means they must make their decision before they know what the other players will do. Acting later, like the dealer button position, is a massive advantage because you can see what others choose before you commit. You have more information. The player on the dealer button is in what poker players call position. Being in position means you act last and therefore see the most information before deciding. Being out of position means you act first and must make choices with less information. Good poker players fight hard to play more hands when they are in position and fewer hands when they are out of position. One final important note about the game concerns the structure of how much you can bet. The most popular form of Texas Hold'em in modern times is called No Limit. No limit means that at any point in the game, a player can bet all of their chips at once. This is called going all in. The dramatic phrase you often hear on television, "I'm all in," comes from No Limit Poker. It is the ultimate version of the raise, wagering everything you have. No Limit Hold'em is the format used in the World Series of Poker, the most famous poker tournament in the world. There are also versions called Pot Limit, where the maximum bet is the current size of the pot, and Fixed Limit, where bets are set at fixed amounts that cannot change. But No Limit is the format most people mean when they say Texas Hold'em today. Before we close, let us briefly visit the idea that makes poker unlike almost any other game. In chess, you win by skill alone. In roulette, you win by luck alone. Poker lives in the space between those two extremes. Your private cards are dealt by chance. You cannot control that. But what you do with those cards is entirely your choice. A skilled player wins more often over time, not because they always get better cards, but because they make better decisions than their opponents. They fold when they should fold. They bet when they should bet. They read the clues that their opponents accidentally give away through their actions. They understand the mathematics of how likely their hand is to improve. Texas Hold'em is ultimately a game of information, of gathering it, hiding it, and acting wisely on what you know. The five actions, check, bet, call, fold, raise, are the vocabulary of that information war. Every move you make tells a story. Every move your opponent makes tells one too. Learning to read those stories and to tell the right story yourself at the right moment is what separates a beginner from a master. To summarize what we have learned today, Texas Hold'em is a shared card poker game where each player holds two private cards and uses five community cards to make the best five card hand. The game proceeds through four rounds called pre-flop, flop, turn, and river. Before any cards are dealt, two players must post forced bets called the small blind and the big blind to ensure money is always in the pot. Hands are ranked from the royal flush at the top down to high card at the bottom, and the player with the highest ranked hand at the showdown wins the pot. During each betting round, every active player chooses from exactly five actions. They can fold to give up the hand, check to pass without betting when no bet has been made, bet to be the first to place a wager, call to match a previous bet, or raise to increase the bet above what was placed before. The most popular version is No Limit Texas Hold'em, where players can bet all their chips at any time, position at the table, specifically acting last and seeing what others do first, is one of the most important advantages a player can have. And finally, while cards arrive by chance, decisions are made by skill, which is why Texas Hold'em rewards practice, patience, and careful thinking above all else.